The months that followed the so-called trial were perhaps even more depressing in their cumulative effect. I felt lost, abandoned, and I was completely cut off from the world. My captors seemed to enjoy provoking and maintaining anxiety and tension. One day, they would grant what seemed like luxuries to me in my total poverty. And then, they would as quickly take them from me without explanation. Americans must wonder how people can be fooled by such absurdities. If people are fooled, and many no doubt are, it is only because they do not have the benefit of the press, the free press. But if they had a free press, they wouldn't have communism. That's something every American should keep in mind. A free press is the greatest protection against all kinds of dictatorship. I feel strongly about this because I owe a debt of gratitude to American newspapers for never forgetting me on my long, long journey. Let us therefore make sure that our press will always remain unhampered to take up the fight for liberty and justice. It is encouraging now to see that the same inspiring and high-minded efforts are being made by American newspapers to effect the release of William Otis. William Otis, American newspaper man, who 3 days before my release was thrown into a communist prison in Czechoslovakia on charges equally false and for reasons equally debased as those made against me. I owe my freedom in large part to the generous publicity that my wife and I received from the American press, which made my plight a national issue. The press is now doing as much or more for Mr. Otis, and I am hopeful that he will soon be released. In any case, each of us should raise his voice until he is. We owe it to ourselves and to our national prestige. We cannot afford to let Stalin make Europeans believe that the American government is incapable of defending its citizens abroad. What has been done is done, and it can never be redone. In the future, however, I would suggest that if another innocent American is arrested by the Russians or their stooges, we be prepared to take effective countermeasures without a moment's delay. We should impose an economic boycott, not only on the offending satellite, but on all Russian satellites, and even on Russia itself. There's been a lot of talk about the importance of East-West trade. The importance of this trade, in particular, to the United States and its allies. We've been told, for example, that Great Britain gains more than Russia does from their trade across the Iron Curtain. As one who spent 4 years in Central and Eastern Europe, I simply don't believe it. I know that Britain must get its grain and timber from somewhere, but I don't for a moment believe Russian grain and timber is more important to Britain than British metals and machinery are to Russia. I believe that if we really put a stop to East-West trade, our boycott would do such damage to the weak Russian economy that Stalin would be forced to behave. We might have to lend Britain some more money with which to buy its grain and timber elsewhere. But expensive as that might be, I don't see that we have an alternative. At a time when we're spending many billions of dollars every year in the hope of preventing war by building up the strength of our Western allies, I don't see how we can afford not to spend a little more, if necessary, to prevent Russia from destroying our prestige by jailing American citizens and confiscating American property. Although it is fascinating to learn what is taking place behind the Iron Curtain, it is of the utmost importance to know why such crimes against humanity are perpetrated. We must recognize communism for what it is, a criminal conspiracy against the human race, and one that is especially dangerous to that part of humanity that still enjoys its freedom. The people of communist countries are not inherently different from other people. Communism infects many of them with a primitive kind of cruelty. A cruelty born of the fears and hatreds inevitably produced by the Marxian system. Don't let the political and social namby-pambies tell you that communism is merely an idealistic theory that won't work. Admittedly, it is a theory, but not an idealistic theory. And certainly, it doesn't work. But it is a great deal more and a great deal worse than that. It is a completely developed political philosophy which advocates systematic subjugation, degradation, and dehumanization of entire civilization, and ultimately of the world. The basic tenet of this perverse philosophy is that its objective of world revolution justifies any and all forms of injustice, barbarism, treachery, and the indiscriminate use of torture and murder. Consequently, communism cannot thrive in a land as long as freedom and justice exist. Therefore, freedom and justice must be relentlessly destroyed before the communists can come to power. The effects of communism are plainly visible in the countries which have succumbed to the tempting but illusory promises made by the Soviet charlatans, who have reduced them to a state of slavery. I saw it happen in Hungary and in Czechoslovakia, as it is happening all over Eastern Europe. And happening, human beings, essentially the same as we are. People with the same aspirations and hopes, the same problems and the same sorrows, the same God and the same love of freedom. One thing about freedom many of us overlook or forget is the fact that it is indivisible. We cannot destroy a part of freedom and expect to retain the remainder. You cannot kill religious freedom and expect to retain freedom of speech. Or kill freedom of the press and expect to have political freedom. Freedom is all-inclusive or it is non-existent. The communists know this. That is why all freedom dies or is destroyed when the communists achieve what is usually their first and principal objective, the destruction of what we call private property or free enterprise. A government that takes over private property, industry, commerce, and business inevitably nibbles away at all the remaining freedoms. They proceed to destroy what little freedom is left to a people. All legislatures, courts, newspapers, publications, churches, schools, clubs, theaters are seized and made the slavish tools of the communist masters. Overnight, Stalin was substituted for God. The people doled out their food and their clothing. They are told where to sleep, commanded where to work, and at what, and for how long, and at what pay. The people are told what songs to sing, what games to play, what jokes to tell, whom and what to hate, what thoughts to think, and what lies to believe. Fear hangs over communist lands like an impenetrable mist and blots out all the good that mankind has struggled for and achieved. Suspicion and hatred corrode the spirit of the human wretches forced to live life under communism. Thus, Americans are but defending the whole concept of freedom when they defend the legitimate rights of American property and free enterprise. They are, in truth and in fact, upholding the structure upon which our American way of life is supported, the way of individual opportunities, fair rewards, freedom of expression, and higher standards of living for all. But equally important today is the fact that only through American free enterprise can the Western world build up its defenses against the communist hordes. As long as we recognize this vile tyranny, which the so-called broad-minded liberals have asked us to tolerate, for what it is, this system they have recommended we study as an experiment in democracy, as long as we realize in time the menace which we all face, the predatory and insidious nature of communism, I have no fear for America. It could happen here. It might happen here. But only if the American people fail to discharge their solemn obligations as citizens of a great democracy. Only if they fail to guard their liberty. Only if they refuse to play an active part in their government. Then, and only then, will it be possible for communism to defeat our great nation, the last best hope of mankind. Whatever the price we are asked to pay, whatever the sacrifices required of us, American freedom is worth everything necessary to preserve it. Americans, individually and collectively, must spearhead the drive for freedom. The world looks to us for salvation. We must not, we cannot compromise with communism. I have laid great stress on the fact that every American must make a maximum contribution of time, skill, and devotion to freedom. We ought to preserve and strengthen it for ourselves and future generations. Let me illustrate this with a story I heard years ago in France. It seems that the people of a little French village thought it would be nice to honor their parish priest. Each person promised to bring to the parish house a bottle of wine and pour it into the pastor's empty wine barrel as a surprise. They all agreed to do this. On the day fixed for the tribute, the pastor was delighted and asked all those present to have a glass of wine from the newly filled barrel. But when the tap was turned on, only water came forth. Each man had filled his bottle with water instead of wine and emptied it into the barrel. Each man thought that all the others would give wine and that one bottle of water would never be noticed.